A week ago, we explored Christ returning to judge the living and the dead. Today, we will take a closer look at another Catholic article of faith in the Apostles' Creed, the Church and the Communion of Saints. The Catholic Church encompasses all those redeemed and sanctified by the grace of Christ, whether on earth, in purgatory, or in heaven. The Church in this wider sense is called the Communion of Saints. We, the faithful on earth, as long as not in a state of mortal sin, are connected in a supernatural communion with the head of the Church, Jesus Christ, and with all the other faithful within the Church. Therefore, the Catholic Church, which incorporates such a vast number of souls, also referred to as the Communion of Saints, may be described in three different states of the Church: Church militant, Church suffering, and Church triumphant. In the Church militant, also known as Church in pilgrimage, the members of the Church on earth fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. It is a militant church, for it has to engage in ongoing spiritual warfare. We could surmise that for our sisters and brothers of past generations, the battle with evil was also ever present. Today, one experiences a relentless onslaught of Satan's lies, deception, half-truths, and misinformation, leaving many souls in a state of confusion. Just recently, at the opening of the Olympics, Satan's mockery appears to be on display with sacrilege and blasphemy towards the Last Supper. Then we have the Church suffering. The penitent church involves the souls in purgatory, as if abiding temporarily in a threshold to heaven. It is not a suffering of destruction for that soul. Rather, it is a suffering that results due to the soul having to completely leave behind the old self, which we have become so attached to, in order to take on a new self, thus being able to join the holy souls in heaven. Above all, our overwhelming hope is that through God's grace and mercy, all souls will reach the fullness of divine salvation in the presence of the Holy Trinity with all the angels and saints. That is heaven, the Church triumphant, where death and suffering will be no more. Thomas Aquinas responds to Jesus' command, "Love thy neighbor," by asking the question and providing an answer. Who is our neighbor? The fellow men and women around us, says Aquinas, but also the saints in heaven, the angels in heaven and angels next to us, plus the souls in purgatory. And Aquinas concludes that our love and our prayers are to be shared with all of them. In this earthly existence, the salvation of many of our faithful brothers and sisters depends on the prayers and mortifications offered for them by members of the mystical body of Christ, the Church. In addition to prayer, our works of piety, such as almsgiving, if performed in the state of grace, can merit our Christian brothers here and in purgatory. We may also pray to the saints, the souls in heaven, and seek their intercession for us and their intercession for those in purgatory. As for the souls in hell, according to Aquinas and St. Gregory the Great, prayers for the damned in hell are of no avail to them. Nonetheless, it is understood by the Church that in the economy of God's salvation, no prayer is wasted, for it is applied to souls that might not have anyone interceding for them. The Church sets aside special liturgical times during the year to celebrate All Saints' Day, the souls in heaven, and also a day to pray for all souls, those souls in purgatory. As Catholics, we seek from our priests the celebration of Masses for the soul of a loved one still with us, and Masses for those souls that may be in purgatory. The celebration of the Holy Mass for the deceased is the greatest gift that one can bestow on a soul. An ancient tradition started by Pope Gregory the Great way back in the 6th century, subsequently known as Gregorian Masses, is one in which the prayers of 30 consecutive Masses may assist a soul through its purging period in purgatory and thus help that soul enter heaven. Back then, according to legend, a deceased monk appeared and requested 30 Masses to be celebrated for the release of his soul from purgatory. On completion of the 30 days, the monk appeared once more, radiant in heavenly glory. Thus, the communion of saints corresponds to a multitude of souls interceding for others, whether on earth, purgatory, or heaven. And yet, there is more. The scriptures tell us of myriads and legions, thousands upon thousands of angels. Pseudo-Dionysius, theologian and philosopher in the early centuries, along with Pope St. Gregory the Great, delineate 9 choirs of angels known as seraphim, cherubim, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, virtues, archangels, and angels. The nature of all these angels is purely spiritual, free of all matter. Every human being has been assigned her or his guardian angel at the time of birth. The primary task of these good angels is the glorification and service of God. A secondary task for the guardian angels is the protection of all men and women and care for all of our salvation. Along with good angels, there are also evil angels, demons, that work with and for Satan. Sacred Scripture teaches us that indeed all angels were created good by God, but a portion of the angels fell into mortal sin based on a sin of pride. St. Gregory states, without any doubt, the angel sinned by wanting to be like God. As punishment, those angels were cast into hell. The evil activity of the devil and his minions is threefold. First, these evil spirits seek to do moral injury to us by way of temptation and seduction to sin. Second, these spirits seek to harm mankind physically through physical evil known as infestation. And third, through a particular acute infestation that involves obsession and possession. This last one, less common. All this illustrates the real existence of beings in our physical surroundings and in the spiritual realm that engulfs all of us. The community of saints and the economy of God's salvation permeates through it all. The spiritual setting and the physical world converge and culminate in one divine moment of thanksgiving in the Holy Mass. At the Mass, during the liturgy of the Eucharist, and particularly at the consecration, the veil is pulled back and we can experience eternity and, if only momentarily, time and space are suspended. Over the centuries, a number of saints and mystics of the Catholic Church have recounted how they were blessed in capturing the realm of the spiritual presence during the Mass. They describe how heaven, the souls of purgatory, and parishioners in the church all come together. How at the moment of the Eucharistic prayer and consecration, Jesus approaches the altar of sacrifice, and that it's as if Christ overshadows the priest, having Jesus himself there as our high priest, offering the sacrifice of the Mass. These mystics share how also the Virgin Mary is present in the sanctuary and kneels near the altar during the consecration. And Mary is accompanied by the heavenly souls of the saints, souls of purgatory, and by a multitude of angels, all in posture of adoration. We have referenced St. Thomas Aquinas several times this morning. He was a saint with great love for the Eucharist. In one of the songs that Thomas wrote, God with Hidden Majesty, he reminds us of that which cannot be perceived by our mere senses. When the veil is pulled back, then being captivated by the true essence of the Son of God in the Eucharist. Aquinas conveys his deep conviction beautifully in his song with these words: God with hidden majesty lies in presence here. Here upon the altar, God and man both lie. All my other senses cannot now perceive, but my hearing, taught by faith, always will believe. We ought to not only believe what our eyes show us. What is seen is intertwined with time, the here and now. But what is unseen is a glimpse of eternity. And no matter how difficult and devastating life may seem today or in years to come, our focus must remain in this greatest of all miracles that brings the communion of all the saints together. By taking part in the celebration of the Eucharist and continuing to be fed with the bread of angels.